This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. Yes, Fluby, it is Thursday again. Can you believe it?
That should be my voice. I should be the one creating the intro. I should be the one saying hello to everybody. It was so cool last week without you, but I'm happy you're back.
I don't think you mean to say without you, but you were very, very good last week. I was very impressed, and actually I'm quite concerned that I'm going to be without a job here. So well done, and it was fantastic shows. I mean, who did you speak to? Melanie Hawke, and that was an excellent
interview. Lionesses of Africa.
I liked the line that I picked out there, which was, one epiphany equals 80,000 lives, female entrepreneurs impacted.
On the continent, yes.
Incredible, across the continent, yes. And then also, you spoke about the challenges that face entrepreneurial women and some of the biases that there are out there. Great conversation.
Thank you. We missed you.
I'm glad. I was glad to hear that. Well, what are we doing this week? Let's just maybe intro the show. Do you want to do that?
Yes. So welcome to Future CEOs. And once again, just a slight kind reminder that this show is basically to empower and motivate and advocate all entrepreneurs out there, especially when they want to fast track their businesses and grow their careers.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you would like to be part of the conversation, 0861-555-189, that's the line here into studio. You can also get hold of us or tweet via @future_CEOs or @cliffcentral.com, or you can use the hashtag #FutureCEOs. And then also finally WeChat. Go and find our page there, our ID, Cliff Central. All right, let's get into this conversation. We've got someone, again, incredible in studio.
Why are you sparkling when you speak about this beautiful woman?
I'm a little smitten. I must admit. I'm sorry. I'll not look you
Blushing.
In the eyes. Please introduce who our guest is, because you've got some history.
Definitely. Well, she's been on the runway. She's produced... being on the runway, she's experienced New York Fashion Week. She is actually the producer of SA Top Model this Saturday. And she's a woman who is fierce and proud and stuck out from stigmas in our society. So I really like that. Andiswa, please introduce yourself.
Hello guys, thank you so much for having me. My name is Andiswa Manglewa, originally from the Eastern Cape.
Yes, Mkhosa guys.
Yes. I grew up all over South Africa. Funny enough, I didn't grow up in the Eastern Cape due to the constant relocation of my parents. So, I was exposed to traveling at a very young age, having to adapt into, new setups all the time, fit in. So, that has
played a huge role. I mean, obviously you were the tall, lanky girl when you were still young. So that obviously was a pressure point in growing up and just being with your peers and wanting to fit in, as young girls always do.
That has actually played a huge role, because I was a tomboy. I was lanky and awkward.
Yeah.
Didn't fit in anywhere. And it made me an introvert. And it was a huge challenge growing up. So I had to be friends with boys instead of, I was never a girly girl. So being in the fashion industry is quite, it was very interesting, because it's not something I grew up dreaming of. I never thought I would be in this space. I wanted to do IT. I was actually studying IT when I was scouted as a model.
Well, I saw you hooking up with Liz from the Fashion Lab beforehand. How did you know the calling to be an entrepreneur in the fashion space? When did that all start?
It all started, I started in the fashion industry as a model. Mm. And a few years into that, I met Jan Malan, who has played huge role in my life, into the woman that I am. Jan Malan is one of the top fashion show producers. He groomed me. He taught me everything that I know today. So I worked for Jan Malan for about 8 years. And after 8 years, he was very happy for me to fly and, spread my wings and do it on my own. And I went out there and I flew. I'm still flying. Very happy.
Let's pull back a little bit here, because you've got some interesting history. People really need to understand who you are in order to be able to understand this conversation. You've been in New York. You've been all over the world, walking up and down runways. Just tell us a little bit about that, because that plays a very important part from a journey perspective, certainly into the entrepreneurial space. Please just share with us that experience, some of the lessons that you took out of that, please.
Okay. I was scouted by an ex-model into the into an agency in South Africa called Heads Models. Mm. I had absolutely no idea what a model is. I thought he was actually trying to get me into doing Miss South Africa, and I thought there is no way I can be a beauty queen. And when I got signed by the agency, 3 months into my modeling career, I was off to New York, which was really quite amazing. At the time, I had no idea what that meant. I thought it's something that happens and falls on anybody's lap. I went to
New
York.
How far from the truth?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I went to New York. I stayed in New York for about a year. I was represented by Ford Models. I had entered a Ford Model Search of the World, and that's how that came about. So I modeled full-time for about 4 years. And Jan Malan, as I previously mentioned, is one of the top producers in the country. He constantly booked me because he's a huge fan of Grace Jones. So I was teased growing up for looking like Grace Jones. I had this short haircut and this, you know, the way that I looked, it just intrigued him. So he would book me for every single show that he did in the country and all over the continent. And that's how I got exposed into fashion shows, into the modeling as a whole. And that's actually how I fell in love with what I do now. So after years of doing fashion shows, shooting magazines, I realized that modeling per se is not really my passion. My passion is really what Jan Malan does, which is fashion show production, because it entails a whole lot more. You get to choose the music, you have to interpret what the designer designs, you have to, you know, the lighting, the AV, you tell a story. So that became, when Jan Malan, after years of working for Jan Malan, he then offered me a job. Because of my personality, I think he picked up that I was very much intrigued by what he does. What he would do is, as a producer, you book a group of models, and obviously you choreograph the show. So he would put us into groups. So I was one of those models that used to be very impatient with the rest of the models that do not get the choreography. Mm. And I would be like, for crying out loud, guys, it's not brain surgery. This is what Jan Malan is saying. So I would say, you know what, Jan, just don't worry. I'll deal with my group. Go deal with the rest of the group. So I think he picked up that there's something special about this particular model. Mm. So he came to me and he offered me a job at the production company. And at the time, I was like, I don't even have what it takes. I'm not sure if I have what it takes. What does this entail? He told me, don't worry, I will teach you everything. And that's exactly how I got to where I am. And when I started in the production industry, I started off as a runner. So from being a supermodel, from being on the catwalk, on the runways, on the magazines, I had to be a runner, making tea, understanding what everybody else is doing. And it takes humility.
That's a great point.
You know, so, I had models that used to laugh at me at the point, friends, like, what is Andy doing backstage when you're supposed to be strutting? I mean, you're from, you know, overseas and you come here and you're running around sweating.
For other people.
And I knew I had a vision. I knew exactly where I wanted to get. And today, they look up to me. The same models that used to laugh at me are like, wow, Andy, you are really inspiring. We can't believe that you are where you are, and we know exactly where you started. So that's how my journey started as a fashion show producer.
You know, Phoebe, what I really like about having different guests on here is that you often hear different stories, different origin points, and often entrepreneurship is a very deliberate thing. You know, business is very deliberate. But in this particular case, it was you going out, exploring, understanding who you are.
Absolutely.
And then allowing that to develop. And then also the courage to actually, as you've just mentioned, step back and say, okay, this is my vision for 10 years from now.
Yes.
This is where I need to begin. I like it a lot.
Leadership. Obviously, you're a leader in not only South African fashion industry, but global, especially being a producer. What characteristic traits or skills do you have that other entrepreneurs think that they should acquire or learn to kind of get out of themselves to be able to be leaders within their own industries?
In my own words, I would put it simply this way. You have to know who you are, believe in who you are to be able to lead anybody. Mm. So as a leader, I've also have to understand that you have to understand people. where they come from. Because if you are self-centered and don't understand that you are leading people with visions, I feel that to lead a successful organization, you have to have people skills.
How do you do that? How do you develop those?
For me, I've developed that from my experiences, through different experiences, meeting different characters and understanding that people are not necessarily what you would like them to be. You have to understand and allow people to be who they are, have a listening ear, understanding what it is that you want, what is your vision in the next 5 years, because I can't force somebody to be what I want them to be. And I think that's where most leaders miss it. They want to put us in a you want to put people in a box, and you want to be the only leader. You have to understand that you might be leading future leaders yourself.
Future CEOs themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
You spoke about Jan Milang being a mentor that guided you and showed you the ropes and believed in you. What does Anderson believe, and are you a mentor to somebody else, about mentorship? Because we're big on that on the show.
I meet a lot of young people. I get contacted by a lot of young people that are very interested in doing what I do. So I mentor a lot of young women in different spheres, not necessarily in what I do, because
correct,
there's very few that are really exposed in what I do. But I do mentor a lot of young women.
And what to you is mentorship?
Mentorship is really bringing, you know, when you bringing or making somebody understanding that they are bigger than what they think or what they believe that they are, and really just pushing, you know, pushing and making them pushing the boundaries. Because for me, Jan Milang saw in me what I did not see in myself. So that has instilled in me that there is more to people than what we see at face value. So by listening and understanding a person, I'm able to push and say, you know what, this is what you've got. You've got what it takes. Bring it out. Do not be shy, because I was once that person who was shy, who never believed in herself.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that again, because that was probably the best definition of mentorship that we've had on the show. That was very, very nice. We're going to have to repeat that over and over again. Very, very nice. Here's a question, and it's a question we like to ask all the time. What's been the worst day of your journey? Maybe the worst mistake that you've ever made, that is actually perhaps your favorite mistake as well?
It would be an understatement to say I've had one worst day. I've had a couple of worst days. I mean, I'm a perfectionist in life. And in my field, I just believe in doing things perfectly. So the minute things do not go my way or the way I believe they should go, that's the worst day automatically. I've made huge mistakes that have taught me a lot as a businesswoman. For instance, going back to not believing in yourself. When I started out as a producer, I had no idea what I really was worth. You know, as a black producer, not bringing in the race
thing, and gender.
Yes, absolutely. I was a woman. I'm young. I'm black, and I thought, I don't know. I have to prove myself a couple of times. So I've done a lot of work for free, or I've undercharged a lot of clients, and you know, I've really undersold my services for a long time, because I felt that I needed to prove myself to a lot of people for them to understand and believe in what I can deliver. And that was a mistake, because I did not grow, but I'm also happy because it has opened a whole lot of other doors, because people have seen that, you know what, we've underpaid this person, but this person is actually capable of X, Y, and Z. So I'm not sorry for that as well, as much as it was a hard lesson to learn at the time.
Mm-hmm. You know, last week we spoke to Andy, so we spoke to women, and we talked about, you know, the challenges that women entrepreneurs have. And it's about having a support structure within the industry that you're in. How are you the only black female producer of fashion in our country? I mean, do you have a support structure? And who are these women?
I'm not the only black fashion show producer in South Africa. There is, the other one that I know is Adiambo, who is female. Adiambo Lawrence, she's from Kenya but based in South Africa. Mm. We basically support each other. It's a tough industry. to crack. And I'm lucky to have Jan Malan once again, because he's really my support system through and through. So we don't necessarily have a group of women that support each other. It's not a field for females, you know. So I have Jan, who, by the way, is the reason I'm producing the show that I'm producing this coming Saturday. So he mentors me, and he knows he's not selfish or greedy to say, hey, Andy, I've got so much on my plate. You can do this. And I'm sending you to this because I'm comfortable and confident in what I have taught you and what you are capable of doing.
So, Thubi, what I really hear coming out here is that that on the one hand, you do want a support structure that you can relate to and that can relate to you. Yeah. But it doesn't necessarily have to stick within gender or race boundaries. Yeah. I think it's about connection. It's about understanding. It's about empathy. Of course, that being said about race and gender, there's a certain empathy that I could never have with you, because you guys are women, and I'm not even close. So, I think the lesson here for all of those who are listening is find people that you connect with. Yes, find people that connect absolutely. With you, and then work together. Really support one another.
If you could go back in time and speak to yourself 10 years ago about your experiences that you've had today, would have things have been different? Would have changed anything? Would you have given yourself good advice?
Absolutely. If I knew then what I know now, it would have fast-tracked my career in a lot of ways.
Sure.
I wish I was not. I was, you know, when I was much younger, I was very, very shy. I was an introvert. I was scared to speak up and go for what I'm really passionate about. So if I was able to, if I was young and had to start all over again, I would go out there and grab the bull by its horns and not be scared to say, hey, this is what I want, this is what I'm capable of doing, I want to run with it, I want to learn, I'm not scared, instead of keeping quiet and sitting in a corner until somebody points out and say, hey,
what about you,
come, you can do this. So it's about knowing yourself and not being scared when you discover who you are, because sometimes we conform. Our parents, I mean, my background is it was very interesting. My family, they saw me as an IT specialist, but this is not where I saw myself. And I know there's a lot of young people that go through that. Some parents want to live their dreams through them. I had a different vision for my life then, and my parents had a different vision for my life. So it was a bit of a challenge. So for that, I stayed in this corner trying to figure out. It took me a while to figure out who am I, who is Andy Somanglawa, what is she passionate about? So follow your passion, find your passion as young, you know, as soon as possible. And that's what you must stick to and chase with all you are.
Very nice. Very well said. To get ahead in business, do we need networks? Do we need people, or is it just really about strength and gumption and the tenacity, those things that we just, you know, just go. What's the balance?
It is a combination of everything that you've mentioned. Obviously, you must have business skills. It's very important to have connections. And with that being said, I think one thing that we are not taught is how to network. Very important to network, because you never know when you will need those contacts. So that's one thing we don't do. We just go out there, show face, and you know, you're invited to these important setups and you don't know what is so important about it. But what is important about it is the people that are there. So you need to network, find those connections and sell your skills. So yeah.
And the follow through after meeting those people.
Absolutely.
You know how it is.
Yes.
What's your vision for yourself for in 10 years time, 5 years time? Where do you want to be? Where do you see yourself?
I see myself, I've got very big dreams.
Tell us your dreams.
I am going to be very successful within the fashion space. I want to be the voice of fashion in South Africa. I want to be, there's different, you know, the fashion industry is very, very diverse. There's such diversity. It's not only about what I do now. So because of what I do now, that has opened my eyes even more. So I don't want to talk about what's in the pipelines right now, but I'm going to still be in the fashion space. I want to touch lives. I know from where I come from, a very remote area. I come from the Eastern Cape, a very, very small village where people don't even understand there's a fashion industry out there that they can be successful on. So I want to be that key that opens those doors to say, hey, guys, the world has so much more to offer. Do you know that this kind of a thing exists? You know, because sometimes it's not that you're not passionate about it. It's because you don't know. So I want to be that voice of fashion and help people to succeed and realize their dreams in the fashion space.
Maybe Andy's comment here reminds me of Charles Savage, you know, the event that we were at where he went around the world. He traveled, and that gave him such context and such insight into what's going on around, and really informed the decisions that he made as he was going forward. And now he's the CEO of a JSE listed financial institution. I mean, that's really where it all begins. And that is what you did, right?
Yes.
It really is. You went to New York, you did all sorts of different things. You've gone all over Africa.
Yes.
And so you have an informed perspective. And that's something that...
Absolutely.
I mean, I know traveling is expensive, but it's really something that money can't buy, is it?
Yes.
Libby, thoughts?
For any young and upcoming young entrepreneurs, especially in the fashion industry, give them some advice about what to do with the skills and the knowledge and the passion that they have, but they don't want to take that first step into creating their own businesses or stepping into the entrepreneurial space. What would you say to them?
First of all, I'd say, you know, especially with to the young generation, the young ones get very excited very easily. So my advice is that you have to first know that this is really what you're passionate about. That's first of all. Secondly, the young generation has a problem of being humble. So they go to school, they acquire this degree in fashion, and then they don't want to start from somewhere. Like, I've got a degree, I've got honors, therefore this is what I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. So you need to understand that you have to start. Everybody that is a somebody today has a story to tell, and they started from somewhere. So you have to be willing. And lastly, you need to research. Research is very, very powerful. You have to understand what you're getting into, what it's about, who is who in that space, because then that way you get to, you know, talk to the right people, network with the right people. And yeah, so you just need to give yourself more knowledge of where you want to be.
After the break, we have a very, I think, special and unique show where we are talking about people that are disabled and how they're dealing with those disabilities as they pursue an entrepreneurial business career. But before we go and then take a break and then come back with that show, just a final question from certainly from my side. When it comes to the, you've spoken about Jan Malan and. What's the best advice you've ever received? Let's part company with that piece of advice. What is this gem that you can share? The best advice you've received?
The best advice that I've received is to always stand for what I believe in, and also understanding that whatever I am today is a result of what I do on a day-to-day basis. So what I do on a day-to-day basis is my reality. So I'm very, very, you have to be very careful of how you spend your time.
And with whom you spend your time. What's the last best piece of advice your mentor gave you?
Never to conform.
Woohoo! Yeah. I love that. Yes, that's a great way to end the segment of the show.
And yes, so with that, thank you, Andiswa. Thank you for being here in studio.
Never to conform.
And we look forward to seeing you on Saturday, because of course we're emceeing the show that you mentioned. It's the Top Model South Africa. What is it?
Top Model South Africa Model Search.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the grand finale. So we'll see you then. All right. Up next, we are talking to some special people about really a special journey that they are on themselves. We'll see you after this.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.